we get the idea that God was the one who brought that on him or permitted it to come on him. And Paul tells the reason. It was to help to make Paul humble, or else he would be exalted above measure. So, I pointed out that in this morning's lesson that in so many cases, failures and disappointments are not only God's educators, but they are also, in many instances, the bridges which we have to cross to success. In fact, I learned this years ago. Some wise person had pointed out that failures and disappointments are the bridges that we must cross to success. That's right. Men and women who succeed in life in the various areas, very few of them reach success without some degree of failures. It's along those background, some of these quotations that I shared with you this morning came from, that the failure of the caterpillar is the birth of the butterfly. That the passing of the bud is the becoming of the rose. That the death and destruction of the seed is the prelude to the resurrection of the wheat. It is pointed out by one botanist that it is at night, at the darkest hours in the night, that plants grow best. That's right. That is what the botanist point out, that it is that time that plant put on size. While plant hunt towards sunlight, but expansion of its size is done at the darkest hour of the night. Why God make it like that, I don't know. But it tells us something. There is experience, there is wisdom, there is power and strength when we learn from our failures. That's a fact. It is unfortunate that so many times we go through some unpleasant experience and we take away no lesson from it. It's good when we take away lesson, when failures come, when disappointment comes. The people who take away something will find that there is experience from failures and disappointment. You are wiser when you have gone through failures and disappointment. You have power, the power of experience and strength when we learn from our failure. Wait, I said when we learn from our failure, not merely going through failure. Our difficult times, our challenging times, when we learn. Look at with me. Look at the fearful. Look at the swearing. Look at the cursing. Look at the denying. Look at the failing Peter in Matthew 26, 69 through 75. Let's briefly look at that Peter. Let us hear it. Let us hear it. Matthew 26, 69 through 75.
No, Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him, saying,
that is a young woman came to Peter,
saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee.
You were with Jesus Christ of Galilee.
But he denied before them all.
He denied before all of them.
Saying, I know not what thou sayest.
I don't even know what you're talking about. This is the same Peter that had pointed out that he was ready to die with Christ. The same Peter. Here we are dealing with a man who is fearful for his life. We are dealing with a man who has failed. Let us hear more.
And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him.
As Satan would have it, everywhere the man went, there was somebody there reminding him of his association with Jesus Christ. Peter did not want this at this time. Read.
And said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes, this other lot, they are more convincing. This one was with him. Read, brother.
And again he denied with an oath. And
we get that? With an oath. As God liveth, what and what and what. That's right. Read.
I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely.
No, that's the third group, you know. Peter must say, why am I so bad looking? The third group that came, and all three times Peter going to deny, and this time he's going to deny with curse word and swearing. Read.
Thou also art one of them, for thy speech bereath thee.
That's right, you are a Galilean.
Then began he to curse and to swear.
Curse and swear. Remember what I said is that look with me at the fearful, the swearing, the cursing, the denying and the failing. Peter, the Peter who has failed. And he cursed. What verse are you?
I am at verse 74.
Read to 75.
I know not this man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus.
That's right. Reflection now. Which said, that's failure. What we are looking on, you know, we are looking on that there is experience, there is wisdom, there is power, and there is strength when we learn from our failure, when we learn from it. Peter is a very good example of that. The cock crow and remind Peter of Christ's word. But brothers and sisters, let us look on a repentant. Let us look on a restored Peter who had been educated by the terrible failure that he had experienced probably months ago. Let us look at him in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear it.
Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned.
Notice, it's this lack of courage and boldness. In fact, it's the opposite of boldness. He was fearful when we saw him in the book of Acts, in the book of Matthew, chapter 26. But I'm almost want to say, I'm just about to say it's the same Peter, but I'm tempted to say it's a different Peter. But that may spoil the point I am trying to get. It's the same Peter, only in this case, in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 4, verse 13, we see a man who has gone through terrible failure. We see a man who has gained experience, who had gained wisdom, who had gained power and strength. When they saw the boldness of Peter and
John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Only Jesus Christ can bring this type of transformation. Christ does make the difference in people's life. When you look at Peter in Matthew, you have been with Christ for some almost 3 years, Peter. And now three times you get the opportunity to affirm your belief, your faith, your confidence in him. And you not only deny, you swear and you curse. Yes.
And behold,
wait, take time with me, brother. I said before, the failure of the butterfly is the birth of the failure of the caterpillar is the birth of the butterfly. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they take knowledge that they had been with Christ. Amen. A transformed man, a restored man, a repentant man. Failure. In fact, it is rightly said that defeat is the soil from which victory blooms. That's right. I repeat, defeat. We are seeing Peter's defeat in the book of Matthew, chapter 26. I imagine Satan run all about and clap his hand and jump up in the air. But Satan did that too quick. Because he's going to be disappointed in Peter. Peter, out of this failure, and as the quotation that I have just said, is right, that failure is the soil from which victory blooms. Peter came out a wiser, stronger, more convicted, bolder person. Peter came out of this as a powerhouse for Jesus Christ. Failure and the sorrow which comes with failure usually lead us into a mood of serious heart searching reflection, which in many cases compel us to recognize our helplessness, so that we turn to the Almighty God for help. I'm going to repeat that. I said, failure and the sorrow that comes with failure usually lead us into a mood of serious heart-searching mood. That is, many times it's when we go through failure. In the dozens of areas, failure can come in our lives. It's a lot of times when we are going through those or having gone through those that we can get by ourselves to internalize, to turn our thought inside and examine our belief, what we are about, where do we go from here, what can I do about the challenge that confront me. And in so many cases, from that reflection, we are compelled to see how helpless we are without God. And we turn to the Almighty God for help. This is what we saw this morning in Judges chapter 16 and verse 28 with the wise man, the strong man, Samson. After he has lost his eyes, became the sport of his enemies, mutilated, then he think all these weeks that they had him as the machine that grind their grain, and they hear timely grow back. And within that man, Samson, there was repentance going on. And followed that repentant, God was strengthening him day by day. And out of that, he gained the strength so that he could tear down a building. Not just for tearing it down, but for revenging the Philistine. I said before, Satan has often rejoiced too early. And afterward, disappointed with his prey. The Philistine had rejoice too early when they saw Samson at the spiritual wreckage heap. Look at chapter 16 and verse 23 of the book of Judges. 16:23.
Mm-hmm. Then the Lord of the Philistines gathered them together.
Mm-hmm.
For to offer a great sacrifice
mm-hmm.
unto Dagon, their mm-hmm. God, and to rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
For they said,
mm-hmm.
our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand.
Mm-hmm. You notice they are crediting their God for delivering Samson into their hand? As I've said, don't move from the passage. The Philistine rejoiced too quick. They rejoiced when they saw Samson at the wreckage heap, spiritually speaking. They felt that he was done for. But you know what? They didn't know Proverbs chapter 24, verse 15 and 16. Let us hear it.
17.
Rejoice. Chapter 24, verse 15 through 16.
15. Lay not wait, O wicked man.
Lay not wait, O wicked man.
Against the dwelling of the righteous.
Against the dwelling of the righteous.
Spoil not.
Wait. Make sure you are getting it. The wise man Solomon is saying, and implying that Many times the ungodly, the wicked, enemies of righteousness, almost wait to see destruction come to God's people, to see failures come to God's people. The wise man Solomon is saying to the wicked, to the ungodly, to Satan, don't wait. Read.
Spoil not his resting place.
Read that again.
Spoil not his resting place.
Mm-hmm.
For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again.
Did everybody hear that? A just man will fall down 7 times and rise up again.
Amen.
But while you have that passage in the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 4, don't turn there. It says that God is able to rise him up again. And here the wise man says that the just man, that is the man who really has God in him.
Well,
even when he failed, residue of God's truth in him may bring him back and revive him to spiritual strength again. What verse are you, brother?
15.
Read.
16, 16. But the wicked shall fall into mischief.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad
mm-hmm.
when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and is displeased, and it displeased him.
You see, don't rejoice over the failure or the falling of the godly. Don't. Because God is able to rise him up again. The Philistine didn't know Proverbs chapter 24, 15 and 16. They didn't know Micah chapter 7, verse 7 and 9 either. Let us hear it.
Therefore,
mm-hmm.
I will look unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I will wait for the God of my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
My God will hear me.
My God will hear me.
Rejoice not against me.
Don't rejoice when I fall. Read.
O mine enemy, when I fall, I shall rise.
That's a godly man speaking. And Micah was not speaking from the point of view that he fell. But he's saying, in case that happened, don't rejoice. Because God is able.
Amen.
What verse are you, brother?
8.
Read.
I will bear the indignation of the Lord.
You hear that? Sometimes as God's people, when we turn from righteousness and turn to sin and disobedience and live our own lives, read that again, that job.
I will bear the indignation of the Lord.
I will bear God's indignation come upon us.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. But you see, God's chastising a failing, sinning, backsliding child of his is completely different from the attitude and disposition of the wicked man. And even also different from the attitude of a backsliding Christian who have no plan to return to God. We are dealing with two types of people here. You are at verse what? 9?
9.
Read.
Until he plead my cause, and I execute and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness.
That's right. That's right. And all these passages are telling us that in many cases, the failure of a child of God is only an episode. It's not the complete story. You see, look at Romans that I quoted, 14 and verse 4.
Who art thou that judgest another man's servant?
Mm-hmm.
To his own master.
To his own master. And the passage here is implying here that those of us who are children of God, God, through Christ, is our master. To his own master.
He standeth or
he standeth or he falls. You're not finished.
Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand.
I love that. God is able to make him stand. What we need is to make sure that within, we want to serve God. When that wanting to serve God, to continue with Christ is there, when we fail, God will supply us with the strength. In closing, let us look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9.
We are troubled on every side.
We are troubled on every side.
Yet not distressed.
Yet not distressed.
We are perplexed.
We are perplexed. Wait. We do not always have the answer. A lot of times we are really confused up here. Sometimes what decision to make, what road to take, and all of that. We are perplexed.
But not in despair.
But we are not in despair. We don't live in hopelessness. Read on.
Persecuted.
We are persecuted.
But not forsaken.
We know we have not been forsaken by God.
Amen.
Read on.
Cast down.
We are cast down.
But not destroyed.
Many times, you know, we go through situations that bring tears to our eyes.
Amen.
That's right. And sometimes there are situations that you have to pick and choose with whom you share those situations. But we must never forget that God has not forsaken us if we want to serve him.
Amen.
Read on, brother.
Always bearing about in the body
the dying of our Lord.
Of the Lord.
May I wrap up with the point that over the years I've repeated here so many times, and that is, suffering is redemptive. Suffering is redemptive. Always remember that many times when we go through difficult times, difficult challenges of one sort, man, I could take another 30 minutes or more just listing some of the areas of our lives that frustration and discomfort and unhappiness and sleeplessness come. There are many. But we must remember that if we learn from them, God used those experiences to educate us.
Amen.
And to make us better. It is on that grounds over the years I pointed out that suffering is redemptive. And my favorite passage is Psalms 119, verse 69, rather 67. Let us hear it. Psalms 119, 67.
Before I was afflicted.
Before I was afflicted.
I went astray.
I went astray.
But now have I kept thy word.
You got the point? That the man's affliction bring fruit.
Amen.
It was after he was afflicted. Affliction that God either brought on or permitted. He said, through that affliction, I learned to live closer to you, God. That's verse 67. Turn to verse 71.
Same. It is It is good for me.
It is good for me that
I have been afflicted.
That I have been afflicted.
That I might learn thy statutes.
That I may learn your statutes. You see, we are afflicted sometime by God. Are he permitted it? But those afflictions are meant to serve our best interest. So we have looked at 67, 71, and the last, verse 75.
I know, O Lord,
O God,
that thy judgment are right.
That thy judgment are right.
And that thou in faithfulness.
And that you, God, in faithfulness.
Has afflicted me.
God afflicts us sometimes. But it is always our best interest at heart. God permitted Samson to be afflicted. And what a great coming around that took place in that man's life. I hope that we learn from this lesson that we need not give up hope when unfortunate things come our way. Many times we don't know if it is brought by God or by Satan, or if it is a God-efficacious will or God, that God just permitted it. But one way or the other, all things will work together for good to them that love God.